Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster, along with my friend Ray Allen, engineering and producing the show. There's a lot of tired people in the United States of America today, Ray and myself included. Well, you'd think there was an election or something yesterday. Hey, it's the day after. We have normally, Ray, you know, we put together a very full hour on Buckmaster, so today is going to be even a bit more full. So we're going to hear from some of the winning candidates, and we'll get right into it here on AM 1030 KVOI. There's a new sheriff in town, a new sheriff-to-be. He'll be taking over in a few weeks. He's Mark Napier, Republican, who ran a really good campaign and handily defeated Sheriff Chris Nanos. Mr. Napier, sheriff-to-be Napier, congratulations.
Well, thank you, Bill. I really much appreciate being on the show today. And you're right, it was a very long day yesterday. I think there are a lot of people dragging this morning.
Tell me about how you're going to bring the department together.
Well, I think that they're really chomping at the bit. I think that there's certain culture among the top leadership that has not necessarily been very healthy. And I think that's why the deputies and the corrections officers endorsed my candidacy. So I think there's just this great need for new leadership and a little bit more energy there. And I think that will just kind of mold us together once I get in office. I think there's just this real hunger for that.
What's been the reaction from department members?
Well, I was really gratified last night, Bill, that about a dozen deputies called me when I was on my way to the venue for the Pima GOP and asked when I would get there. And I said, well, I'll be there in a few minutes. And they said, good, meet us in the parking lot. And a dozen of them escorted me into the venue, which was really touching, very nice tribute. And they understand that the campaign was a very long one and certainly demanding on the candidate and his family. And for them to extend to me that courtesy was really a nice thing.
What's on your agenda now to, I mentioned, kind of this bringing people together. And obviously there will be some hard feelings in the department for those who were supporting Chris Nanos. So again, what's on your list of things to do here immediately?
Well, I think just to get out and let people who don't know me get to know me better. Mm-hmm. I've often thought you learn a lot more with your mouth closed and your ears open. And so kind of get around and listen to people and get a lay of the land and find out where our strengths and weaknesses are. And I think some people will self-select. I think some people will opt to leave the agency prior to my coming there. And that's, a decision they'll have to make. But I think that we'll come together very effectively by just getting to know me better and listening to what people have on their concerns and to try to put some of this air of corruption and cronyism behind us.
What impact did the whole aura of corruption and the very negative stories about the sheriff's department, did that play a major role in giving you the boost that you needed to be elected?
Well, I think it certainly contributed, Bill. I think that a lot of people were concerned. There certainly was a lot of the very disfavorable media and a lot of coverage of that, as there should be. I mean, there's a federal indictment. There's $500,000 of RICO funds that's gone missing. This is a very serious issue. And there were other issues on top of that. So I think people were concerned about that. But in addition to that, Bill, I think we ran a very good campaign. We threw partisanship behind us and reached out to a large constituency of people in Pima County. And I think that the testament to that is the wide berth of endorsements that we got, all the way from Governor Ducey on one side of the political spectrum, and then go to the far other side of the political spectrum to get the endorsement of the Tucson Weekly. That shows quite a breadth of community support, and you don't do that without really getting out and working really hard and talking to people.
The Dr. Carmona's news conference, that certainly was a tipping point. It would appear a tipping point in the campaign. It was highly unusual for the former Surgeon General to go before the media and go before the public and to speak out.
Yes, certainly was. And, keep in mind that Dr. Carmona was a Democrat, a longtime deputy with the agency of more than three decades, and certainly well-respected at the line level. And I think he had just witnessed enough of the what he deemed to be mistreatment of the deputies and some of the cronyism, and he had concerns about what he had heard with respect to potential corruption. And he got to the point where he just couldn't remain silent on that anymore, and he went forward and spoke out on those things.
So now you will be going before the Board of Supervisors for budgetary items, and have you reached out to Mr. Huckleberry? Have you talked to him yet, the Pima County Administrator?
No, I've not talked to Mr. Huckleberry yet, but I had a very nice conversation with Sharon Bronson this morning. She called me, and we discussed some areas of mutual concern there and things that we might work on, and I was very appreciative to get the call from Sharon. And, of course, I know Allie Miller and Steve Christie very well. So I think there's a good base of support there, and I've interacted with Richard Elias when I was a commander on the south side of Tucson. We had many events that were in part of his district there, so he certainly is aware of my work ethic and knows a lot about me. I think we'll work fine with Chuck Huckleberry. It makes sense. We should all be rowing the boat in the same direction, so I think the cooperation will be natural.
Will funding be a big issue for you?
Yes, and I think, unlike my predecessor, I'm going to really look inside the organization first. Before I go out with my hands stretched out to the Board of Supervisors, I really need to go inside the organization and make sure that the positions and the structure of that organization are really what we need, and that there isn't opportunity to save money by downsizing the top heaviness of the organization. I think there probably is an opportunity to restructure and convert some salary savings into deputy compensation and staffing, and then assess where we're at and really decide then what we really need to go for the Board of Supervisors to ask for money.
All right. Mark Napier, again, congratulations to you. And you mentioned Pima County Supervisors Chair Sharon Bronson. She'll be talking with us next as we continue the program. And we want to wish you all the best of luck, Mark. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you, Bill. You've been a very good friend. And convey to Sharon, again, my appreciation for the nice phone call this morning.
I will indeed. Thank you, sir. Mark Napier with us on the Buckmaster Show, a live line on this day after the election. Thank you to Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. They've been a great sponsor and continue to be. We send a lot of the Buckmaster Show listeners over to Silver City and Grant County. You know, this might be a good getaway weekend, kind of to unplug. Some of my Facebook friends were saying they need to get back to nature. Well, I've got an idea for you. How about the Gila National Wilderness? A great place to do some hiking. And you can really do some unplugging and getting back to nature. Visit southwestnewmexico.org. That's their fine website. And they have all the information about the many opportunities to recreate in a great part of the southwestern United States. We'll be right back. This is Bill Buckmaster. One of my passions is travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. When I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport with 6 airlines flying nonstop to 19 destinations and easy one-stop connections. I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient, with competitive airfares. And the best part is there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Check out flytucson.com, travel smart, and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. The Regional Transportation Authority funds new sidewalks, pedestrian crossings, and bike lanes across the region to enhance our regional mobility and safety. The RTA's 20-year plan also includes roadway improvement projects and expanded transit services to provide added convenience and accessibility. The RTA continues to deliver its promise to you to make our region a better place to live, work, and play. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com. Business owners and managers, upgrade your workforce through training customized to meet your needs. Pima Community College offers affordable, specialized training for companies large and small. Instruction is delivered how, when, and where you want it, whether online, at your business, or a customized combination. Pima Community College instructors make training relevant with a focus on today's real-world business needs and measurable success. Learn more at 206-6593, 206-6593. As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com. If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. It's our day after election 2016 coverage on Tucson's Town Hall Square. It's the Buckmaster Show, where we bring together people and talk about what's on their mind. And one of the closely watched races was the Pima County Supervisorial District in number 3. Pima County Supervisor's Chair Sharon Bronson is on the live line with us now. And Sharon Bronson had faced a challenge from Republican Kim DeMarco, and Supervisor Bronson has survived the challenge, apparently winning by about 4 percentage points. Now, all the votes are not in yet, but let's hear from Supervisor Bronson. How are you today?
You know, I'm doing pretty good, Bill. And how are you doing?
Well, I'm doing pretty well. I'm tired, like everybody, because we stayed up so late watching all the coverage. But hey, that's usually the way it is the day after the election. How is the vote count? Do you have any idea how long all these votes are going to take to be counted?
I think they all should be done being counted by Saturday at this point. And countywide, we probably have about 60,000+ votes out there that need to be counted. These are early ballots that were turned in at the polls that were, they've got some issues in terms of having to review them. So we should know final numbers by Saturday.
How do you feel about the victory, the apparent victory?
Well, I think my opponent has already conceded.
Okay.
And I think we certainly made it, and I am appreciative to those who voted for me, because I think we can continue our economic expansion and continue working across party lines with Steve Christie, the new supervisor from District 4, to build our tax base and to create jobs. So I'm thrilled with the outcome.
We just heard from the new sheriff-to-be, Mark Napier, and he wanted to convey to you that he very much appreciated you calling him and offering your congratulations. He wanted me to convey that to you.
I appreciate that. Again, I think it's about working across party lines, finding those issues where we have common, where we share common ground, and just moving those forward and making life better for all the residents of Pima County. But no, I congratulated all the winners, as I always do.
This was an interesting race, your particular race. There were two narratives that were put forth in this race. Your opponent felt that we were going the wrong way in Pima County, and you believe we are on the right track, certainly when it comes to economic development. A few words about that, please.
Well, I think at this point the right track is during the Great Recession, we were able to hold the tax rate steady with the one time that, because of the cost shifts from the state and we won the lawsuit, we had to raise taxes, but we did the rebates to county residents or to all the residents of Pima County. And I think you've seen us grow the jobs, starting with, you know, I think the seminal piece was Accelerate, and then we moved forward with Home Goods. We moved forward with certainly Worldview and then Caterpillar, a few other successes in there. And if we don't create jobs, if we don't grow the economy, then we're not going to have the community we have now. We aren't going to be able to maintain the amenities. And I think the other challenge moving forward is to stop the state cost shifts. We collect $350 million approximately in property tax. A third of it, over $100 million of it, heads back to the state. That needs to stay here to solve our problems. Those are our taxpayer dollars. They shouldn't be going to Phoenix. So it's certainly going to be one of my top priorities this next, starting in January.
And, of course, we've got several thousand, almost 2,000 jobs for Raytheon. That announcement, the indications are, will be coming very soon. And then Mr. Huckleberry's indicated there could be a couple more thousand in the pipeline. So that certainly is good news as we close out 2016 and look toward 2017, correct?
Oh, how could it be anything but good news? No, I mean, it's not only good news. It just, given the state of the nation and how the economy is growing, this is fabulous. It's just amazing that working with the public and private sector, and I've got to just give kudos out to the Tucson Chamber for endorsing me this election cycle. It shows that we can come together, do the public-private partnerships. Sun Corridor is doing amazing things. It's when we all pull in the same direction that good things happen, and I think that's what's happening right now, and that's why we're seeing the job growth.
All right. Sharon Bronson, re-elected as Pima County Supervisor District 3. Congratulations. Thank you, and get some rest like the rest of us.
Thank you, Bill.
Thanks a lot.
All right.
Now, let's go again on the live line to State Senator Andrea D'Alessandro, Senator from District 2, who was easily reelected, beating Shelley Kice in the election yesterday. Senator, how are you today?
Very well, Bill. Thank you for having me.
Well, congratulations on your victory. And as you might have heard a bit of the last interview that we had Sharon Bronson talking about, from her point of view anyway, we have got to stop these cost shifts up at the legislature. Would you agree to that?
I agree completely, and they are giving more responsibility to the counties and giving them less of their own money back. So that's clearly unfair. So I'm very happy that Supervisor Bronson won again. And I'm also very proud of my legislative district two running mates, Representative Rosanna Gabaldon and Daniel Hernandez, and the three of us ran a positive campaign based on the truth and issues. So I'm very proud that both of them are ahead, and it looks like they're headed to victory.
Yeah, it looks like the incumbent, Chris Ackerley, his race there looks like it's fallen short on his end. Do you have any idea how many, what are we talking about as votes still to count?
Well, I have heard this morning it looks like there are maybe 2,000 down in Nogales, but a lot of the ballots, the early ballots, were dropped off at polling places, so now the county recorders are checking the signatures. And with the early ballots, it's it favors the Democrats, so not only in Legislative District 2, but around the state. And I'm still encouraged about the Senate races, because I heard that there is several hundred thousand voters' ballots to be counted up in Maricopa yet, with people bringing their early ballots to the poll. So I'm hoping that a few more of the Democratic Senate candidates will pull it out.
Well, State Senator Farley was real optimistic last night that that it could be an even split in the in the Senate. What do you we know at this point, though? It doesn't quite look like that.
Well, we have three of our targets are down. One incumbent, Barbara McGuire, is down a bit, and her area is a lot of Pinal County. But I heard there are a lot of ballots out there too. And Eric Meyer is just down a few hundred. And Nikki Bagley is also down, but when the ballot, we won't know for a day or two what the final results are. So we Democrats remain optimistic. A lot of work has gone into their campaigns, and of course we have James Cedar Peshlakai, former representative on the Navajo Nation. She ran unopposed in the general. She had a primary, and she proved that. She defeated some dark money, so it was. So we're optimistic. We just have to see what the voters decided yesterday.
What do you think about your own race? What was the key issue there for you, Senator?
Well, you know, Bill, I'm all over the district. I'm in the schools. I'm meeting with businesses. I'm at civic events, and you know, trying to work to get the film office in Arizona open, fighting, you know, to keep to get Cherry Bell Mail Processing Center restored to full operational capacity. And, you know, I have a lot of senior citizens like myself, and I've had, you know, 10 senior scam prevention events throughout the district in Pima and Santa Cruz County. So people recognize me as a hard worker out in the community. I also fight to keep the utility rates low. I have been to, you know, to the Corporation Commission to testify. I write letters because a lot of people on fixed incomes or with lower wages can't afford increased utility prices.
How does it look as the big, what is the big issue going to be when we have the session opening up, believe it or not, in about 2 months?
Well, you know, I know for me and for many of my colleagues, it remains support of public education, because 1-2-3 was just a, I like to call it a broken Band-Aid. It doesn't really address the problems. It ignores the voters' wishes of inflation funding for public schools. And I have seen that the corporate tax cuts, you know, if you looked at a pie chart of where we get our taxes, the bulk comes from sales tax, which everyone pays, and then individual tax, and we have a shrinking part of the pie for corporate. And it used to be a three-legged stool, and now the corporations are paying less. Only a quarter of the corporations in the state pay more than the $50 filing fee. And this is you know, unfair to the Constitution of Arizona, which you know, says that we're supposed to improve and maintain the public schools and have the university as near to free as possible. And it's just out of, if I were a student now, Bill, I could not go to college without incurring huge student loan debts.
All right, Senator D'Alessandro, congratulations in District 2, and we'll look forward to the upcoming legislative session. Thank you very much.
You are very welcome, Bill. Take care.
All right, 12:29 on the Buckmaster Show. We're going to change gears and talk about a little bit of spirituality at 12:33 or so in about 4 or 5 minutes. And it's something we need to all talk about, I think. Coming together and healing. We'll take that approach next on Buckmaster.
Five Star Termite and Pest Control reminds you of their patented foaming treatment with an onomatopoeia poem. Termites, oh termites, why must you eat? The homes of Tucson shall not be your treat. Five Star, will your foam help protect? It certainly will, your walls will inject. Foaming your home will get rid of them snappy. Termites go away and our customers happy. Call Five Star, that's Five Star, 886-0045 and fivestartermite.com.
American Openings is pleased to sponsor Hands of Hope. Hands of Hope believes every life matters, and they're committed to walking alongside women to provide confidential, non-judgmental care so they can make the best decisions when unsure about continuing with a pregnancy. You can learn more about Hands of Hope at GiveHopeTucson.com. American Openings is a locally owned door and window manufacturer and is blessed to be a sponsor of a local ministry doing so much to protect life.
Sadly, animal abandonment and neglect happen to millions of animals every day. The Humane Society of Southern Arizona sees these cases all the time, and we want to save as many of these forgotten animals as we possibly can. Your support helps us help animals like Bobby, Elise, Jackie, and Mickey get the care and love they deserve. Please give to the forgotten and show them someone cares. Visit hssaz.org/forgottenfund to make your gift now.
Business owners and managers, upgrade your workforce through training customized to meet your needs. Pima Community College offers affordable, specialized training for companies large and small. Instruction is delivered how, when, and where you want it, whether online, at your business, or a customized combination. Pima Community College instructors make training relevant with a focus on today's real-world business needs and measurable success. Learn more at 206-6593, 206-6593.
Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting from a different perspective. Our business and technology section takes a different look at the economy from the Mises Institute, the Taxpayers Protection Alliance, Mises Global Economic Trend Analysis, and the Daily Bell. It is business and technology news from a different perspective. The Southern Arizona News Examiner. Free subscriptions at soaznewsx.com.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year, and if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
This is Bill Buckmaster, coming up Thursday at noon, TUSD board member Dr. Mark Stegeman. Also, the Broadway Corridor is named one of America's most endangered historic sites. Buckmaster on Tucson's Voice, AM 1030 KBOI. We've got worldwide live listening podcasts and our complete archive at buckmastershow.com. The excitement is building for the grand opening in early 2017 for the Twisted Tandoor. The legendary Indian food truck will now have a permanent brick-and-mortar home at Swan and Camp Lowell Drive. The menu will be an expansion of the Indian classic offerings from the original Twisted Tandoor food truck. The Twisted Tandoor, coming in early 2017 at 4660 East Camp Lowell Drive. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show as we push toward 12:34 on this, the day after America votes. And we're coming to you with worldwide live listening at buckmastershow.com and KVOI.com. KVOI, AM 1030, Tucson's voice. This would be a great weekend to just kind of unplug and get away from it all out in your backyard in the garden. And we want to send you over to Green Things. What a great location. Jan and Jack, the owners, they took 4 acres. Now they've expanded it to 13. They have everything you need when it comes to your gardening, including the pottery. They've got some great pottery and gardening supplies. 3384 East River Road, just west of the intersection of Dodge and River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. GreenThingsAZ.com is their website, and on the website they have the information about the upcoming, every Saturday and Sunday at 10 a.m. they do these free gardening workshops, and they'll have the information posted for this weekend. Well, let's go back on the live line. We're going to be speaking now to the Right Reverend Robert Hendrickson, who is the parish priest at St. Philip's in the Hills Episcopal Church, the church where the Buckmaster family worships. A little point of disclosure there, but I thought it might be kind of good to step back right now and talk a little bit about healing, because a lot of people are hurting in this country. Perhaps their candidate, starting at the top of the ticket, did not win, and they feel kind of empty today. So Father Hendrickson is with us now on the live line. How are you today?
I'm doing well. How are you, Bill?
Doing real well. And a lot of people, and in her very gracious concession speech today, Secretary of State Clinton invoked Scripture. What can you offer our listeners that might be perhaps words of healing in these very, for many people, very difficult times today?
Well, I think that the word that kept coming to my mind as I was hearing messages from people and phone calls and Facebook messages was simply Jesus's injunction to be not afraid, and the angel's injunction to be not afraid over and over again that we hear at various points, and that injunction often comes at momentous moments and kind of moments that feel earth-shattering. You think of sort of Mary getting the message from the angel that she's going to bear the Son of God. And the angel says, "Well, be not afraid, Mary." And so, when earth-shattering things happen, what we are asked by the Holy One is to not be afraid. And so for us, I think we have to take a breath and then figure out how do we respond to this. That this is, I think, part of getting over the fear and part of beginning to heal is to say, "Okay, this has happened. Whether it's something you're excited about or something you're depressed about." So how do we take some ownership of the way we respond to this as individuals, as communities? And so I think getting a sense of ownership and beginning to metabolize whatever it is that one is feeling to fuel something new is going to be the only way we really begin to wrestle with this. I know a lot of folks today are feeling that fear and that sense of powerlessness, and I think the first step is to begin to say, so what's going on in me and in this community, and how does it fuel something new, and how do you begin to own that a little bit?
And some are actually saying it's like a grieving process. Is that kind of similar, and are those feelings valid?
Absolutely. Well, and it is a grieving process, and I think part of it is, and the folks that I have been talking to today are people who have heard in the rhetoric, whether it was intended or not, whether whatever, you know, however people hear rhetoric, have heard themselves marginalized in some way or another. And so you have folks who perhaps they're refugees, or folks who are LGBT or women who are saying, now, where do I fit in the country now, and how do I fit in this thing that I thought was so diverse and so welcoming, and suddenly doesn't feel that way this morning? And so I think there is some grief there, because part of grieving is sort of saying, well, who am I now? Because we are defined by our relationships, and if one day you think your relationship to your country and to your community is one thing, and the next day you are suddenly feeling as if, well, maybe I don't have a place here now, or maybe I'm not wanted or loved or even valued as being, worth having dignity. Of course there's grief there. And I think part of working through the grief, again, is beginning to say, okay, this is what's happened. This is how I can begin to respond and take ownership. And more important than that, this is how I'm going to reconnect to the world beyond this. And this is one of the important things that we always counsel people who are grieving, is to keep your connections alive and healthy and whole. So reach out to people who might also be grieving. Reach out to people who can give you a sense of purpose and solace and comfort. And I think that the worst thing we can do is sort of just curl up in a ball and you know, cry at home. I think that the healthiest way for us to respond to this is as a community. I think that, to me, is what feels like the saddest casualty, not just this year, but over the last several years of our political discourse, is it just seems like we're losing the sense that we are a people who are united by a common story and a common sense of purpose and destiny. And I think that what we're going to have to do is listen to one another intently, and begin to kind of hear where are people coming from and where are the commonalities that we can find, rather than having those stories become sources of division. How do they become a way that we bond together?
It is the Buckmaster Show. We're speaking with Father Robert Hendrickson of St. Philip's in the Hills Episcopal Church. Let's talk a bit about healing. Are there some favorite scripture or perhaps some direction you can give us on healing generally, Father?
Sure. I mean, I think the where I often recommend people go is frankly to the Psalms in these sort of moments, because when you begin to dive into the Psalms, you begin to realize that there are points over and over and over again where we have wrestled with God, we've wrestled with God's purposes, we've wrestled with history, with feeling victimized or whatever it is. And so I always recommend that people dive right into the Psalms and really begin to wrestle with God and wrestle with their own heart in these kind of moments. And one of them that I frequently point people toward is Psalm 139. Psalm 37 is another that I think is pretty powerful. And because when you begin to hear Scripture telling you to don't fret yourself because of evil ones, to refrain from anger, to leave rage alone, you realize that the stories feel familiar because people feel familiar through history, and you realize that mm-hmm. these very early writers were wrestling with the same things over and over again. This is, you know, and so the commonality of one of the common threads of human experience is perplexity in the face of seeming loss. And so I think that the Psalms are the place that I always recommend people to go and begin to engage with that very raw, sometimes, articulation of human experience.
I think one thing that will help coming up with Thanksgiving is just sort of stepping back, Father Hendrickson, and realizing that we all have so much to be really thankful
Absolutely.
For and blessed. And maybe this would be a great Thanksgiving to reach out and perhaps help a neighbor who is maybe alone, and just maybe make this Thanksgiving a rededication to helping others. So how does that sound to you?
Well, I think it sounds ideal, and I wish we did it more than just at Thanksgiving. Yeah. But I think that to me is it's a good first step, though. But I think finding that sense that we're in this together. And, you know, the first prayer I said this morning at morning prayer was thank you, God, that we live in a country where we're able to choose our leaders.
Mm-hmm.
And the second was for the president-elect, because this is a huge responsibility that I hope he's able to step up to. And so I think giving thanks that, yes, this has a whole a whole complex mix of emotions for a whole range of people. But also, you know, we have a say in this. And so there are ways that in which we can concretely respond with our neighbor, you know, reaching out in love and getting to know people as individuals with faces and hopes and fears and loves, and then beginning to say, you know, these people are not our enemies, you know, even if we disagree around a whole range of things, but that only happens when we get to know people and reach out in the way you suggest too.
All right, Father Robert Hendrickson of St. Philip's in the Hills Episcopal Church, thank you very much for letting us sort of step back and reflect a bit today as we continue on with our political interviews, talking with some of the winners of the election. Thank you very much, sir, for being with us.
Well, good luck. I hope you get a chance to decompress, too.
Thank you very much. Coming up bye-bye. At 12:44 on The Buckmaster Show on AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's Voice. Also on Facebook at Bill Buckmaster. If you're not a friend, join us. There's still room. We'd love to have you on our Facebook page. We talk about the show every day. We'll be right back.
You love to laugh? Then don't miss Born Yesterday by Garson Kanin, presented by UA's Arizona Repertory Theater. Harry Brock tries to bribe senators in D.C. to help him with a crooked scheme, but his showgirl mistress needs some tutoring so the couple seems believable. See what happens when he discovers a little learning can be a dangerous thing. Come celebrate 80 years of your Wildcats in theater and see Born Yesterday through December 4th, co-sponsored by Jane Kibble with Campbell, Yost, Claire, and Laurel. Season sponsor, Chapman Automotive. Tickets.arizona.edu.
This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Next time you book a flight, type in TUS. Travel smart and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. This year, the Regional Transportation Authority celebrates 10 years of delivering projects across our region. More than 755 multimodal projects help you reach your destinations. By delivering both mobility and economic benefits to communities throughout Pima County, the RTA unquestionably makes a difference in our region. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com.
Hi, this is Sean McCluskey, co-owner and designated broker for Rincon Ventures. If you're a rental owner by choice or by accident, and you're looking to hire or change property management companies, consider Rincon Ventures. We employ an aggressive web-based advertising strategy to market your rental. We thoroughly screen prospective tenants and conduct routine property inspections. Our online system gives tenants the ability to pay rent and file maintenance requests instantly over the web. Our owners can use the same system to instantly check on their properties. Call Rincon Ventures at 881-2258 or visit us on the web at rvprop.com.
Today, more than ever, consumers want to work with a business they trust. Hi, this is Suzanne Miller with your Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, reminding you that thousands of consumers go to tucson.bbb.org every week to inquire about trustworthy businesses. Is your business accredited with BBB? To find out more, call Celeste Angelini at 520-345-5837 or go to tucson.bbb.org and remember to always start with trust.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Experience the best of the Canadian Rocky Mountains with the rail journey on Rocky Mountaineer. You'll travel alongside the powerful Kicking Horse River and pass by monumental landmarks from the early days of the National Railway. On this legendary route, you'll see postcard images around each bend, including stays in picturesque Lake Louise, with scenic tours of Jasper National Park, and much more. Contact Bon Voyage Travel to plan your Rocky Mountaineer rail journey today. Bon Voyage Travel, your travel experts.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine in a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. Tucson's largest school district may have a new board dynamic come January, with the early election results showing one of the three incumbents, Cam Juarez, being unseated in the election yesterday. The two incumbents appear to have survived, Crystal Foster and Dr. Mark Stegeman, who, by the way, will be my guest on the program tomorrow. And there'll be a newcomer, it appears, Rachel Sedgwick. And let's go now to the live line. One of those incumbents, Crystal Foster, joining us right now. Crystal, how are you? Congratulations.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. It's pretty bittersweet with everything in context, right? The national news, and it's a pretty surreal morning. But I thank you for the kind congratulations.
What about this newcomer? What do you know about her, Rachel Sedgwick?
I know about as much as everybody else does. We've never sat down and met. I sent her an email this morning congratulating her and inviting her to sit down to a cup of coffee. I gave her my phone number, and that's how we begin, right? We begin. I've been in this position before, 4 years ago. There's a steep learning curve, and I welcome her to those lessons, right? I hope she'll jump in and visit some departments, really find out, learn about so much, because there's the campaigning, and then there's the reality of the work. And so I invite her to jump in and be open to learning all of that so we can get going on the right steps in January.
What about this campaign? I have to be honest with you and my listeners, we didn't cover it. It was just too nasty. We actually let some others cover it, and it was covered a lot on other stations and through social media. But how would you characterize this? Am I right on here? This is the nastiest thing you've ever seen?
Yeah, I would tell people the Trump and TUSD are the bookends of crazy in this election year. And I think what we see is how important public school is, the fight for public education in our country, and what's at stake. We see, children, you know, right now we have to focus on our kids, focus on what's right for our families and our community. And just like we see nationally, there's a lot of contention, and we've come from many different perspectives of what's best.
Where do we go from here? And perhaps you should, would you like to set the record straight about some things perhaps that were said about you that you believe were untrue? Is there something that you would like to tell our listeners right now?
Honestly, I didn't pay a lot of attention. I wasn't in a defensive mode, and so I really can't even, I don't have a record of three things I heard that I'm ready to clear the record, because my campaign was focused on where we're going and the good work that we've done. And so I heard a lot of stuff, and I didn't focus on defending. I mean, the one driver on town, you would see that about closing schools, and I mean, my record stands. That's nothing I've ever voted for. So that's the only one I could think of that you're referring to. But I mean, there's misinformation in campaigning. We see that at every level going on right now. And I think I've got a lot of congratulations on being honest and being respectful and being a team player, and that's why people voted for me, and I don't plan to change that.
How many votes, do you have any idea how many votes are still outstanding?
Well, I was listening to your show earlier, and so, again, I've been paying attention to so much national news, and so I heard Ms. Bronson say about we should know it by Friday. And so I really, that was my learning from your show as well. I haven't paid attention to that as much. I know there's about 1,000 votes between Ms. Sedgwick and Ms. Putnam Hidalgo. And so I'm been in that position a couple of years ago and we're waiting to count every single vote. But whoever sits in that seat, I think, you know, we have a lot of work. We have a lot of healing to do. We have students and teachers to focus on, and we have to build and work with our new legislature up in Phoenix, because we don't do this alone as a board. We do this in collaboration with every other elected official in our state to support public education.
All right, let's put the election now behind us, and now let's look ahead. What are the big issues that are facing TUSD?
Well, so we have our strategic plan, and again, I think if we focus on that vision and focus on our goals, and if that we can make good things happen. And so we're halfway through that plan. We have goals to work on that. We have our desegregation order. We can file for partial unitary status in the spring, just a few months from now, and then full unitary status in September of 2017. And, you know, that's been our case. It's been going on for 40 years. If we were, if the three of the five of us can come together, right, and stand behind the goals there so that we can conclude that, I think that would be a tremendous goal for this leadership team.
There was, of course, the issue of coming together, the board. It's no secret the board has had its problems. Everybody getting on the same page, that's probably the understatement of the year. Are you ready to work with all the board members?
Well, I've always been ready to work with all the board members, and we work on the vision and what our goals are. The reality is, and this has been the reality in TUSD since everybody tells me forever, is that three people, you know, it's a board majority always is what pushes the work forward. And so we know that the new person in the seat, you know, has a big, big role to play right now than any of us. You know, will she help us come together? Will she work on the vision and the direction of the strategic plan? Or will she work with, you know, Dr. Stigman has had his vision out there, and he's worked against the vision that this community majority came together towards. So if she joins with that, then that's, you know, where this board will go. So really, I will sit down and meet her and talk to her. I'm hopeful. I think she and I have more in common than not. And again, during a campaign, you don't really talk about what you have in common. And right now, I think that's where I hope she and I can work towards. And we both taught abroad. We both taught English to English as second language learners. And we both, I got worldly knowledge and coming back to Tucson and committing here. I've heard her say really great statements about children of color, students of color, and our minority kids. And so I think I'm hopeful that she'll share those same values that I know Adelita and Cam and I have been working towards.
How is the district doing financially at this point?
I don't have any concerns that you're alluding to. We've looked at gaining more money than we were expecting because we have more students enrolled than we were expecting. We budgeted for a shortfall, and we don't have a shortfall of students, and so we'll be expecting to get probably $3 to $4 more million than we had budgeted for. And so I think that's a positive.
All right, Crystal, thank you very much. Crystal Foster, you must be very happy that this campaign is over. Am I reading you correctly?
I am. It's really two jobs, right? One is a candidate and one is a board member. And I'm excited to just focus on that board work and leaving the campaigning behind.
When will the new board be constituted? When will the new member be sworn in? Well, actually, I guess you're all sworn. The two incumbents that have been reelected, you and Dr. Stegeman, will be sworn in along with the new board member. When is that happening?
That should be our first week of January. So I actually just sent an email. When does that happen? So I can plan my winter vacation. When do I need to be back in town? Because we will have a swearing in to do, and then our first board meeting of the year. So
All right, we'll see what happens. Crystal Foster, thanks again, and congratulations to you.
Thank you so much, Bill.
All right. Crystal Foster, who has been reelected to the Tucson Unified School District Governing Board. TUSD, of course, the largest school district here in Southern Arizona. I believe it's the second largest school district in Arizona. All right, so that will conclude for us our post-election program. And one more note about TUSD. We have scheduled tomorrow Dr. Mark Stegeman. So we'll hear what he has to say and his vision now for this newly reconstituted board at TUSD. He'll be with us tomorrow. Also, historian Ken Scoville talking about the Broadway Corridor, now considered one of the 11 most endangered historic sites in the United States. All right, for Tucson, that's the mic check with Mike Shaw and Ray Allen from 4 to 5. It'd be interesting to hear what Michael Medved says about the election. That's just moments away tomorrow morning. Wake up Tucson 6 to 9, talking culture from 9 to 10. And then me, Bill Buckmaster, with Ray Allen. We'll be back tomorrow at 12:04. Until then, have a great afternoon and evening.